This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Marketing Mojo with me, Angeline Tay. The Malaysian Media Awards 2017, or MMA17, is held to honour the talent of the media planners for best use of media in driving media campaigns. MMA Organising Chairman Amit Sudha is with us today to tell us more about these rapid changing times in the advertising media. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, you know, every year we talked about these awards, you know, for the last, I don't know how many years. We seem to highlight how quick the media landscape is changing. Even us as consumers of, you know, advertisements, we see how brands are just following us everywhere we go digitally. So what insights and data do you have on the media advertising landscape here in Malaysia?
I think you've heard this before, but media agencies used to manage paid media to drive awareness, throw a lot of money, get reach. But increasingly, reach only doesn't mean credibility. Just because you've 95% of this country has actually seen the ad doesn't mean that all of them start believing what you're saying. For a marketing task to be achieved, you need a combination of that reach combined with, I don't know, editorial messages, peer-to-peer social communications, creation of utilities, and a whole host of activities. Media companies are now doing all of that.
Mm.
That's the biggest change that we've seen. So we've gone from paid media into earned media, owned media, all kinds of things. That has put immense demand on the kind of skills that you require from media planners. You now just don't need analytical, mathematically based people who are looking at numbers, but also people who can analyze those numbers and sort of build stories around those numbers. And that becomes a critical skill. So those are the skills that have been sort of been added in.
When it comes to insights and data here in our country, do you have any sort of figures to share with us?
Well, there's no exact figures in terms of insight and data, but platforms itself start throwing a lot of data. So let me give you an example. If you looked at old school TV, we used to call it the shotgun approach. You go spend a lot of money and then sort of it all goes and talks to a lot of people in this industry. There is a role for that. And there's a very, very important role for that in terms of impact, that there is no replica for, nothing can actually replace it.
Mm.
But there are other mediums where you can go extremely precise. You can target on the basis of the weather. It's raining outside right now. I can give you a message that talks about the rain. It's 4:15 right now, or whatever it is, 5 a.m. I know exactly what I can turn around and say. I've searched for a location on the internet right now, and 10 minutes later, I can try and sell you a ticket against that. So that kind of data availability is also changing the game completely for it's adding a lot of complexity, to be honest,
yeah,
for all of us. It's not an easy place to be working in, because you require a multitude of skills. And very often, this is human behavior. No single individual can actually have all these skills. So now we need to build teams with multiple skills.
So how do you do that? So you say it's difficult to get someone who encompasses all this, you know, a talent or skills for you to execute a very complex campaign. So how do the media agencies are adapting to this change?
So the structure of ad agencies' teams is completely changing. There used to be a time where there used to be a senior planner, a planner, and a junior planner. They were sort of replicas of each other, and they sort of moved up the seniority chain.
Like a ladder.
That's right. It's a ladder. They're connected to each other. As you get more senior, you get up. But teams today have multiple capabilities. I mean, the place I work, we've got data analysts. You've got experiential technologists. You've got media experts. You've got planners, implementers. They're all put together into a team. When that happens is only when magic can happen. Magic in marketing.
Hmm.
So in a way, team dynamics have changed. People are beginning to realize that interplay between people of multiple skills is very important, and that's what is being appreciated in the industry.
So is it difficult to look for the right talent in Malaysia?
I think the entire industry faces that. So there's no doubt about it. That I don't know whether I should say this, but advertising used to be an industry which was quite popular among fresh graduates to join. It's not as much now. It's still popular, but not as much. So it's getting, there are so many more industries a young guy who's getting out of college can join, whether he joins people like you, goes and joins Google, Uber. It doesn't matter. Yes, businesses. For example, the ease with which internet businesses can be started means entrepreneurs are born out of college. They don't spend 10 years in a job and then decide to start their own business. So yes, it is tough to find find the right kind of people. Having said that, in times of opportunity, in times of crisis are the times of opportunity. And because these magnificent changes that are happening in our industry that are seemingly making us seem like, where am I going, are actually the ones that are giving us tremendous opportunities. My industry can change and change for better if we just take the right things and run with it.
Mm. Okay, back to like how much the media landscape has changed. In today's context, what is an effective marketing campaign? Because you say it's so complex, so there's no blanket application to different kinds of campaigns.
Okay, so I may not directly answer your question, but I'll try and answer it in a different way. So the mediums that exist today have always existed. There was always TV, there was always print, there was always radio. A few new mediums have been added in, whether they are to do with, whether you look at digital, mobile and platforms like that. The role that each medium plays in the customer journey towards purchase has actually become a lot more precise. Therefore, each medium has a role, and we as media planners must understand the role of each of these mediums. And then when we create a comms plan, each part of the comms journey or comms plan has a particular role and a medium plays a role in that. So if you look at television, for example, it is still the most, it's probably still the best medium to drive impact. It gives you reach at the fastest pace. I'm not saying digital gives you reach. Pretty much very high reach. But the reach buildup is slow. You can do on television within like one day, you can reach a certain number. Digital, you take 4 days.
Mm.
Print is a fantastic medium to drive information. Radio is a captive medium. I think radio is the highest penetrated medium in this country, upwards of 90%.
It's because of the stuck on the road.
That's right. It could very much be the traffic.
That's why we're still alive, you know.
Digital mediums allow you targeting. Basically, they give you so much data that you know behaviors, time, geographies, you know where a person is, what he's feeling, what his likes are.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, that allows us to be a lot more precise with targeting. Sometimes that allows us to be closer to the sale itself. And that's quite an interesting thing. So the media has changed and we've now become a nice interplay and mix of campaigns that use all these platforms and methods to reach our objectives.
So it's still pretty much traditional in a sense where you have your broadcasting, which is TV, radio, print, plus digital element into it. But now I guess the complexity is also like out of home kind of billboards that are more fluid in a sense. And now you have apps, push notifications kind of messaging as well.
Yes.
How those then also play a part? Yeah. What role do they play if they are not intrusive?
So technology is increasingly making some of our job predictive. So what a person sees is based on a certain prediction you make. So you spoke about outdoor. Outdoor technology has seen some amazing movements. So there are facial recognition technologies that are attached to a piece of outdoor. Imagine you're walking down a tunnel on an LRT station and then the outdoor actually recognizes whether you're male, you're a female, how old are you, and it serves an ad that is extremely dependent on that. Technology also allows us, of course, to be sort of two-way. So there have been instances, or haven't been done here as yet, but around the world where sales platforms have been set up on outdoor. So you're walking past a LRT tunnel and there's an outdoor out there and you can actually punch on it and order groceries, for example.
In Japan, actually.
Yeah, Korea has done it as well. Mm. So a couple of other countries have done it. So this is how the combination of technology, the ability for us to the availability of data and our ability to analyze it combined with some powerful storytelling is completely changing the game for media, marketing and business per se.
So I'm speaking with Amit Sudha. He is the organizing chairman of the Malaysian Media Awards 2017. And we've been talking about the changing advertising landscape. But in a moment, we'll get an example, a case study of an award-winning campaign, which was done last year, and how they have actually implemented the different use of media and the role that it plays in just a little bit. So stay with us. This is Marketing Mojo, BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium, BFM 89.9.
This is Marketing Mojo. I'm Angeline Tay. And if you just tune in, I'm here with Amit Sudha. He's the chairman of the Malaysian Media Awards 2017. And we're talking about the advertising landscape, the changing advertising landscape. And I think what I really want to find out is that you did say different media plays different role. That's obvious. But, is there a case study that you can share with us to give us a clearer picture of this idea?
So I remember one of last year's winners was this case from KFC. It was for the hot and cheesy burger. So I think they had an amazing mix because television, for example, in that case was used to just pass on the message that here's something new that has come into the market. One of the most interesting things about the campaign was how they used YouTube, which is also a video-based format. So if I remember right, one of the things they did was they analyzed viewership trends and broke down viewership into micro-segments. So if 3% of the people on YouTube are watching cat videos, they started creating ads for the KFC product which refer to cats. And then if 5% of the people, and that's actually quite an interesting thing. I never knew that such a large percentage of people in this country watch recorded games. Someone's actually watching Age of Empires or maybe Dota recorded.
And so, like, watch how they play it.
Yes, they're just watching someone else play. Record. It's not even live. It's recorded. So around, 3% or some big number like that was doing that. So there were ads created or videos created against that particular. So multiple videos were being created. Now, so imagine you're searching for a badminton video between Lee Chong Wei and Lin Dan. And a KFC ad comes up and it talks about badminton right then and there. You're bound to remember it. So that medium was used in that way. There was an outdoor where the burger was sort of live because this whole campaign had it was a talking burger. And the burger was actually talking to people on ground and giving out vouchers. So used completely differently. On print, interestingly, the print was quite bespoke as well. If I remember, the headlines on your print ad were connected to the page on which the ad appeared. So if it was on a sports page, the headline would talk about sports. If it was on a politics page, it'll talk about politics. So different mediums were used for different things, all towards, of course, the final goal of helping sell more burgers. And it worked. I think it won quite a bit last year.
So the hot and cheesy.
That's right.
So what are some of the new things that, Malaysian advertising players have implemented? So you did say, using different platforms. But what else is new?
So one is speed and agility. There used to be a time we used to do our advertising, we used to plan our advertising, and we'll take 3 months after a campaign, a particular campaign is over, for us to analyze whether it has worked or not worked. While that gave us learnings on post-campaign, but it sometimes you might come back and say, look, this didn't work. But the campaign's run 3 months ago. You really can't do much about it. In today's times, optimizing, learning and changing on the fly, these are some things that have become extremely important. So I think every agency in this country today is building capabilities on those sides. The entire media industry, even sometimes I feel that even deals struck with traditional media players are built for optimization. So we commit, there used to be a time when you'd commit 100% budgets right up front. Now you commit lesser amounts so that you can optimize on the fly as you move on. Certain programs might be working better. Mm. You analyze, check them, move on. So that's one big change, which is speed and agility with which we are planning, creating, optimizing on this way. Another interesting thing, and I when I was in college, they used to teach us this thing called the AIDA. The AIDA model was awareness, interest, desire and action. Everything followed that ladder. So first, a consumer will be aware, then he'll build some interest, then there's some desire, then there's some action. I'm going to ask you this question. How many times have you gone and bought a product without really knowing much about it and then built information? happens all the time in today's world where there's a huge amount of information, very easy to buy and purchase. So that cycle, that IDA, is completely broken.
Yeah.
People enter at any time, exit at any time. You buy, then you build awareness, and then you decide, I'm going to talk to 10 other people about it. And when I talk to those 10 people, the product is either desold, saying this is bad, or it's sold, this is very, very good. So brands are now so increasingly built, are being built in these conversations between you and me. It's again something new that we are getting used to and getting better at.
Yeah. And how much e-commerce, the role of e-commerce affecting all of this consumer habits?
E-commerce is an extremely interesting place to be in. And I think I'd spoken about the fact that there was a time in advertising where we used to advertise and we used to hope that the guy would walk to a store and buy your product. But today, as a media company, I can confidently say that where the media is, where the advertising is, highly likely you can buy right then and there. So I don't know whether to call it e-commerce. It's the progression of business. Now, what that has allowed us to do, it has allowed us to make the advertising at that point of choice very, very fitting to what will make him swing and make the choice. All this kind of data is now available to us. Now, example, someone has bought something on e-commerce or gone and bought something. I can actually go back 10 steps to see what he has done before he made the purchase.
That's creepy.
You can, because that's the that's what the technology allows you.
Yeah.
I'll take the creepiness away after I finish this
okay.
dialogue. But so therefore, you can scientifically align that if a guy has done X, Y, and Z, the chances that he is going to buy is higher. If he's done A, C, and E, then probably I need to give him more information. So you see, it's getting predictive.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing and you said the word creepy, and the one thing I do want to say is because of data protection, and it is extremely important, there's no personal information that we can have or we should have. We are not allowed to hold any personal information. The information that we have works in cohorts. So if there's a bunch of people, say 3% of the people actually doing C, D, and E, I can target them. But I cannot target you individually. So while it's predictive and it's good for you because I'm only serving you advertising that might be useful to you, it's actually not. It is not creepy.
Mm.
We don't have any information which is personal.
Let's talk about the Malaysian Media Awards. Last year, you looked at two areas, which is the brilliant strategy on, you know, just sharp focus on how they shape this strategy. And the second thing you looked at was fresh execution. But, you know, has that changed for this year's award?
The Malaysian Media Awards have always been about championing creativity and innovation in media. No changes to that overall philosophy. But this year, we've redesigned it a bit to fit this new age of both opportunity and change. So first of all, we've split the awards into two sections. One is the media, which is innovation within the medium itself, and the other is special categories.
Mm-hmm.
Special categories could be things like small budget, integrated, sponsorship, which are not essentially a medium, but they are like media platforms that we as media practitioners can create. Second thing we've done is that we've added a few new categories that reflect the potential of the work that we do. So three of the categories that I'm talking about is one, creative use of data; two, best use of technology; and three, campaigns that drive commerce, which is campaigns that drive sales. Mm. Historically, all three of these used to be lumped under one before. What we've done is we've split them because we believe that somehow this points us towards where we are going as an industry, is a big part of where we are going as an industry.
And clearly data and technology is one area that's developing, and a lot of companies are looking at that right now.
Oh, absolutely. Data, technology, this is an amazing space. And I'll give you an example. You see, every company has multiple streams of data. Whether you have advertising data, so you see an ad, you click on it, that data is available. Social data, people go onto platforms, and sales data, you're buying something through a POS terminal, you've got data there. You might be providing Wi-Fi, so someone uses that Wi-Fi, you have data available. The interesting fact is that every individual or every organization uses each of these data streams separately. You don't connect them. which means you're not fully utilizing the power of how people are behaving. So in today's day and age, companies like us are trying to connect all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the opportunity for us. This is the time when our industry is being challenged by industries like consulting companies, by digital companies, by even tech companies. But honestly, this is not the time to be scared of that. This is the time to turn around and say, if I do high-level things like continuous data management, single view of customer, this is the golden age for me. This is the age where we will make it big.
So can you share with us, you know, what you hope to achieve for the industry, you know, whether through MMA or, you know, as yourself within this industry alone, any vision that you may have?
Actually, I think I'll probably repeat what I just said, which is this industry is facing, per se, a lot of challenges because there's a lot of competition. This competition comes from consulting companies. It comes from tech companies wanting to come into our space. It comes from specialized digital units who are going and only buying digital media. So all of that is eating away at the business. Each one of them comes with their own little specialization. But this threat or this challenge also opens out a lot of opportunities because we are the biggest owners of consumer demand. We are the ones who take marketing budgets, deploy it in the right places, and that activates consumer demand. If we are properly able to analyze the data that comes out of this demand across multiple channels, whether they are social channels, sales channels, advertising channels, we hold something very powerful. Very near, in the very near future, predictions made from this demand side, as I call it, this mm-hmm. sales side, can actually be connected to the supply side. So supply chains of organizations who are ordering raw material for a product that will be produced 5 months later can be connected to this demand chains that we own. And therefore, there's huge efficiencies as our models actually meet supply models. So we are no longer just placers of media, but we are business partners to larger organizations. And that's the dream. That's the vision for every media company, every advertising company in this country and in the rest of this world.
So, well, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. I enjoyed the chat.
I've been speaking to Amit Sudha. He is the chairman of Malaysian Media Awards 2017. The submission for MMA 2017 is open until 7th of April. So head on to mma.mysa.org for more information. I'm Angeline Tay. You've been listening to Marketing Mojo BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.